From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Hello. Welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deck. And most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. And luckily for us, this is a little bit of a more, what would we say, lighthearted episode. Because after we recorded some fairly dark stuff recently, some murder investigations.
Child abuse.
Yeah, cult exposés. We decided that we would take a break, but answer still a real question.
What the f*** is up with Florida?
There you go. That's the question. Why does it seem like all, at least most, of the strangest things in the United States occur in Florida?
It's strange, and this is not in any way a hit piece on Florida, on America's most famous peninsula and panhandle. But it's true that here in the U.S., some parts of this country are more famous or infamous than others. And we had originally What the F*** Is Up with Florida as just a working title, an in-joke with us. But I think now we could just make it official, right?
Yeah, but poor Paul's got to bleep it every time we say it. This is a family show.
Well, we're only two deep so far.
That's fair.
It'll be all right. But, you know, for another example, New York and California are probably the best known states on the international sphere, even if people only know them for a particular city like Los Angeles or New York City or an industry like Hollywood.
Or the mob.
And Florida, located in the far southeast of the U.S., occupies this very unique space in our zeitgeist. It's an international destination, home to Disney World, wealth of other amusement parks. I can say some of the best times of my life have actually been in Florida.
You know? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do tell.
Nah.
Okay.
My grandparents lived in Clearwater, and I used to have just a heck of a time hanging out in their retirement community down there because they had a pool. It was wonderful. It was just grand times until I realized—
Isn't there a Scientology center there?
Until I realized that Clearwater was under assault by Scientology. They were literally buying up land, I think a quarter of a billion dollars mm-hmm. worth of land that they owned.
How did you experience this as a youth?
Well, all I remember is that there was always construction on all of the highways every time I went down there from a little boy up until I was in my mid-20s.
And you couldn't get into the pool until you did the e-meter thing?
Yep. Yeah, that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're carrying around too many Thetans.
Yeah. Your Thetans were wild, man. It's true. There's a lot – that's a good segue too. There's a lot of strange stuff that happens in Florida. It truly is an international destination. Millions of tourists flock to Florida each year to maybe visit family, to see the attractions and the beaches. In 2017, the most recent estimate available, we found an estimated 116.5 million people traveled just to Florida to hang out in last year. And that sounds like just an abstract large number, but for comparison, we've got what, over 300 million people living in the U.S. now. So that's more than a third of the U.S. population, and just in terms of raw numbers.
If they're all from the United States.
They're not, yeah.
But, you know, there's still a huge chunk of people that end up in Florida.
Yeah, but these people are just popping in for a Disney vacay or a little Universal Studios situation, staying at the many palatial resorts and hotels that there are there. But what of the people that just are there all the time?
Ah, yes. You're talking about the residents and the many of whom have retired to Florida from another state, New Jersey being the popular stereotype.
Like Maddie's father-in-law.
Yeah, and yes, kind of. Mm-hmm. Jerseyan? He was from New Jersey.
He's from elsewhere than Florida, though.
Yeah.
Jerseyite. Exactly. So here in the U.S., residents of other states have some, let's just call them what they are, stereotypes about Florida. And it's not completely unfounded or unreasonable for people to have these stereotypes, even though stereotypes are usually pretty destructive things. Often when you hear about Florida in the national news, it's associated with a tense political struggle, a natural disaster, or oddly enough, a strange story about an individual in Florida committing some sort of ridiculous crime. Here's our first list of examples.
Florida man attacks ATM with hatchet after it refuses to take his check.
Or Florida man denies drinking and driving, says he only swigged bourbon at stop signs.
Or Florida man claims wife was kidnapped by holograms.
Or Florida man stabs tourist despite having no arms.
Or drunk Florida man, that's a nice modifier because it's usually just implied. Drunk Florida man attempts to ride bike through Taco Bell drive-thru, comma, fights with police. And his mugshot, he's just making a big old frowny face and has like a bruise in the middle of his forehead and kind of like Joker-esque green hair. And he's wearing the orange jumpsuit. Mm-hmm. And just to reiterate, no Florida bashing here. This is a trope that is worth exploring.
And we have to give these examples too, yeah.
Florida man launches chair at mailman because he had no mail for him.
Yeah, it was a tense day. And you can read more and more of these examples. Spoiler alert, we'll probably have some more that pop up. But this is the kind of news that people in other states see when they hear a story in the media about Florida. And since so many people living in other states hear about these stories on a semi-frequent basis, it's understandable and completely not commendable, that many people would form this prejudiced opinion of the Sunshine State. And that brings us to today's question. Is there really more strange crime in Florida? How does it stack up to other states? What exactly gave this state such a weird reputation?
Is there something going on in Florida that they don't want us to know?
Yeah, oddly enough, it's complicated. We get to a question at the end there, but I guess we should start with the facts. Where did Florida come from?
So Homo sapiens have been occupying the landmass, what is Florida, for at least 12,000 years, and written records of this area started as far back as 1513 when the Spanish explorer Juan Ponce de Leon, a namesake we know very well here in Atlanta, it's actually the street that we're on, arrived.
And when he arrived, there were no other humans living there. That's not true. That's just when like we said, that's when records begin.
Yeah. Well, did Ponce de Leon consider the inhabitants of Florida to be human? I mean, he is a Spanish explorer at that time.
He was a conquistador, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Fast forward to 1845, nice day, March 3rd, Florida becomes the 27th U.S. state. And during the Civil War, unlike a lot of states in the South, it didn't suffer this massive amount of catastrophic destruction. You know, it didn't burn the way Atlanta burned. There weren't a lot of huge pivotal battles, although there are some, of course, that are historically significant. Mm-hmm. It's not – they didn't have a Gettysburg moment, you know. The Union controlled coastal towns and forts. The interior was controlled by Confederates. Somehow they all, you know, managed to avoid the complete devastation that happened in other states.
So let's get into the geography of good old Florida. It's mostly known for its peninsula, the thing that juts out down there heading towards the Caribbean. But the state actually contains several different distinct ecosystems and also cultures. There was a whole article that was put out about the five to ten states that exist within Florida, which is not real, but it's kind of just groupings of people who've moved to the state. But the land is divided into four main regions. You've got the Gulf Coast. That's where the Atlantic Ocean kind of goes up in there into the into the peninsula. You've got the coastal plains, the upland, that's the hilly area towards the north and northwest, getting up towards our own Georgia. And then you've got the swampy Everglades. That's in the far south and in the Florida Keys. That's where it's very difficult to get buildings to stay and to work right and not flood.
And it's a popular destination for hiding bodies.
Mm-hmm. And gators love it. In terms of human population density, at least, Florida has a surface area of about 170,000, a little over square kilometers, almost 66,000 square miles. Based on the estimates, that works out to about 353.4 people per square mile, or 136.4 per square kilometer. And this makes Florida the eighth most densely populated state in the union. It's also, surprisingly, this surprised me, it's also the third most populous state. The only bigger ones are California and Texas.
That is very surprising, in my opinion, especially because of all of that land that's out there, especially in the Everglades and some of those areas where you just look out if you're driving on 95, I think it is. You just see nothing for miles and miles and miles.
And I guess to be fair, we'd have to point out that that average could be misleading because a ton of people will live in the urban areas in the Miami-Dade metropolis or in Orlando, you know? So – our current estimate for the population in 2018 is 21.31 million people, and that is based off an estimate carried out in 2015 by the Census Bureau, and the growth rate was one of the fastest in the country. It was number four out of all the other states. So if we think about this, that means most people outside of the American South picture Florida to be way less crowded than it is. And the opposite is the case. It is incredibly crowded, incredibly dense, and most importantly, incredibly diverse.
That's right. Florida is a pretty unusual mix of cultures, of transplants, like we're talking about at the top of the show, from other states and other countries. So it's pretty hard to find a central defining characteristic of the state's culture, like as a whole. But that's kind of what makes it interesting too. I mean, there's a, like, you know, there's a incredible art scene, like in Miami, for example, with, like, I think it's called Art Basel. Is that how you pronounce it? Or Basel? So what's going on right now? It's a big art conference where artists from all over the world convene in Miami, and there's that aspect of it. There's an incredible, you know, Latin American population and Cuban population and different kinds of food and music and just about, you know, anything you can imagine. It's very, very, very diverse.
Oh, Miami. An entire metropolis built on cocaine.
I read some really strange thing about Miami when researching this. Someone said the neatest thing about Miami was how close it is to America. And it took me a second. I couldn't figure out where they were going because I'm not myself too familiar with Miami. I haven't been there since I was a child. I would imagine you guys are more familiar with it.
Yeah, I've been there numerous times with my in-laws. They love it. I love it. I love hanging out there with them. And again, the food and the culture are definitely one of the biggest drawing points, I think, to that city.
For some reason, when I was a child, a long, long time ago, I thought everybody in Miami was tall. And I think it's just because when I went there, I was, you know, maybe 2.5 to 3 feet high. So yeah. I just thought it was a land of giants. I have no idea. Is that true? Are people taller in Miami?
They are, yeah. It's rough. It's anywhere between 3 to 7 inches you're going to get as soon as you arrive to Miami. Mm-hmm. And that increases over time, like whether or not you actually are living in like certain counties within the city.
That makes sense. It's like I always thought when people say they're big in Japan, I thought it was some sort of like metaphor comparison. But no, from what I hear, when you go, you do turn into a giant.
It does. Okay, that's obviously completely false, the thing we're joking about. But I do wonder if there's something to driving through that flatland that is Florida for so long, then you finally arrive at this huge city that has giant towering buildings. I wonder if there's some kind of perception thing that can occur there where things feel bigger.
The Florida effect.
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a thing I just made up.
I think the Florida effect is an excellent name. What do you think it describes, Noel? Is it what Matt articulated?
It could be part of it. It could be this whole ball of Florida wax that we're talking about today.
And included in that ball of Florida wax is the kind of the elephant in the room or the mouse in the tower, right? How does Florida stack up when it comes to crime, especially since we read so much about crime in these news stories that constantly come out? We'll tell you after a word from our sponsor.
Well, no matter what you've heard, this is important. Despite all those crazy news stories you heard, and even the one that you didn't hear me say about the guy who buried a dude in concrete to steal his Magic the Gathering collection, which was valued at over $100,000, by the way, Florida is by no means the most violent state within our great union.
Well, the beauty, too, of these stories is they're not all violent. They're all just kind of crazy.
Yeah. The car thief, for instance, who stole a vehicle, saw there was a baby in it, and then, like, turned around to safely drop the baby off with someone, and then stole the car. I feel like that's oddly endearing.
Yeah, agreed. Or even the guy who was at McDonald's who was masturbating in the parking lot, and he claimed that his privacy was being invaded.
Yeah. He also said he lived in his car, I believe. Yeah, despite all these stories here, Florida is, as you said, Matt, not the most violent state. Depending on the study you read, the most violent state will often be cited as Louisiana, with Vermont being cited as one of the safest. But there's still crime in Florida. Florida is usually, depending on how it's measured, it usually ranks fifth in terms of crime. 541 violent crimes reported per 100,000 people. That's a lot. Right?
Yeah.
And also, it ranks number 5 in terms of robbery, aggravated assault, and property crime. But while it may not have the most crime out of any state, it genuinely does seem to have some of the weirdest crime. You know what? Can we just stop and do some more examples?
These are pretty
fun. Yeah. All right. What do we got?
I have a good one. Let's see. Florida man caught with stolen power pole strapped to SUV in wake of Hurricane Irma.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
So, Florida man disguises himself in bull costume as he tries to burn down former lover's house with pasta sauce.
Florida man attempts to smoke crack in an ICU, almost burns down hospital.
Florida man high on meth climbs onto stranger's roof to howl.
Florida man arrested in local park for practicing karate on swans.
Florida man sets apartment complex on fire after manager told him to stop masturbating in front of windows.
Yours are very masturbating. Yeah,
I feel like you found a theme.
You got a niche.
I didn't apple F.
Florida man wrecks liquor shop, blames caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland. He said that a hookah-smoking caterpillar told him to do it. So it's really more referencing the song White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane there.
That's a good point. He needed to work on his story.
He was probably on acid.
He might have been. There's one I found that I can't remember the circumstances behind, but we can just describe it in the headline. There was a guy who was found on the roof of some store, and he was covered with tar, and people asked him what he was doing up there. And originally, he said that he was lost and from out of town, and then he said he was an AC technician, and he noticed the AC was malfunctioning, so he decided to do the neighborly thing and fix it. I think he just did drugs and ended up on the roof of a building.
And got covered in tar somehow.
And I hope he's okay. So these headlines are like solid gold if you have a slow news day, right? These will get your clicks.
Oh, for sure.
So what gives? You know, is this an unfair stereotype? Is there something in the water? Why do people seem to participate in so many crazy shenanigans in America's most infamous peninsula? It turns out, we have an answer. Here's where it gets crazy.
Yeah, so it turns out that this law really is somewhat to blame for this phenomenon. Every American state has some kind of sunshine law, and that's a term for legislation, regulations, or constitutional amendments that guarantee public access to government affairs, like sort of an open book policy, right?
Mm-hmm. Or how open is your book?
Exactly. How open is your book? Is it a reading rainbow, or is it more of a... I don't know, Ben, you're better at this than me.
Malefus Maleficarum.
There you go.
Nice.
Very, very well done, Matt. But while these laws require most government meetings to be open door and most documents to be open book, allowing public scrutiny, many of them are a little bit limited, right?
Or redacted or... have some kind of conditions on them to where not every single one is going to be fully available in all of its form.
Yeah, so theoretically in a given state you might have something similar to this Transparency Act or Freedom of Information Act kind of thing. So you can technically get access to police records, but actually getting them in practice can take a long time, or you can get shut down by red tape. But in Florida, on the other hand, there is a deep, deep, deep centuries-long dedication to hardcore transparency norms. It starts way back in 1909, Chapter 119 of the Florida Statutes, the Public Records Law, and it kept being strengthened in following years. In 1967, they passed the Government in the Sunshine Law, popularly known as the Sunshine Law now, and then they continued to strengthen it after that. So this law has been kind of untouchable regardless of who is in office, and it's pretty extreme. If you are a public official, every meeting, aside from a few exemptions, has to be an open meeting, which is why like politicians will get married and they'll have to have a journalist at their wedding. That happened at least once. And today, the Sunshine Law regarding open government can be found in Chapter 286 of the Florida Statutes. If you're looking for some really juicy reading, they established this basic right of access to most meetings of boards, commissions, other governing bodies of state and local government agencies or authorities. And this means that it is incredibly easy to learn about the inner workings of this state's government, especially arrest records.
Yeah, and that's a big deal because if you're a journalist and you're looking for a story just to include or to, you know, have as a part of your paper or your podcast or whatever, having access or at least easier access to some of these arrest records and stories going through the courts or whoever is being charged with what right now actively, that gives you this huge wealth of just stuff to write about. I mean, that's a big deal to me at least. Like the blotter stories, you know?
Yeah, no, it's true. And at the same time, like I've been to Florida. I've hung out in Florida. And Florida has a really interesting dichotomy where, like we were talking about, that diversity that it has, mm-hmm. that extends to like you know how there's certain parts of Georgia that kind of have a reputation for like a certain type of individual that might be a little more prone to drunken behavior or unhinged things, you know?
Or meth.
There you go. Or, you know, just too much drinking, too, you know. That Florida has that too. And it also has the big cities. It's very diverse in that way. And I think that – and the fact that you've got these open book policies where they have better access to it, it doesn't necessarily mean there are more crimes that are nuts, but it certainly has no shortage of bonkers crimes. But you know what? Neither does Georgia. We just don't get access to the information as readily as they do in Florida, apparently, right?
Yeah, and there's one of the dead giveaways you'll notice. So the same well-intentioned laws that passed are the same reason that a Florida resident's mugshot might appear online merely days after those arrests, make it incredibly easy to write about these stories. And here's the red flag you'll see. If you're reading a weird Florida or a Florida man story, it will almost always include the phrase, according to the arrest report, or something like that. And there's a journalist named Kyle Munzenreeder who wrote a great look at this for the Miami Herald. He put it this way. As journalists, he said, all we have to do in most cases is call the police department and ask for an arrest report, and the cops are required to give it to us. Nowadays, a lot of cops just email the reports, and some of them will post arrest records online of their own volition. Some of the more dedicated Florida news reporters go through batches and batches of these reports at a time. And he said, you know, once you have the report, you pretty much have everything you need to write a story. You just have to be mindful that it's the police officer's version of events. And Kyle had a good example about this, which I thought was hilarious.
He says, say a journalist somewhere gets a tip that a man in a dog costume was caught making love to a Hello Kitty doll in a mall bathroom. Here in Florida, we would just call the police and say something like, heard there was an arrest at the mall yesterday. Can we get the report? And I would add a little wink, wink in there.
Right. For journalists in a lot of other states, again, it's not that easy. They might not be able to get the report at all, or they might have to wait for a certain amount of time before police release it.
Well, Georgia does have a thing called the jail report that you can get mm-hmm. like at gas stations, and they're very, very picky. You're not allowed to pick them up or read them unless you buy them because otherwise, you know, what's the point? So, yeah, they typically only, though, have mugshots and the actual thing the person was arrested for, but not usually the juicy details like what would be in the arrest report. So that must be directly because of the differences in the sunshine laws.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point. And there's something else here about the sunshine law that's pretty interesting. Florida, like some other unnamed U.S. states, is home to a lot of corruption. You just have to look back at our earlier episode on the founding of Disney World to see the way that Disney essentially became its own local government, right? Mm-hmm. Scientology, famous for having its fingers in a lot of political pies. So maybe this open governance law is so extreme because they want to have some sort of oversight on those strange, murky connections between so-called private entities and then governments that have been infiltrated or compromised, which I know sounds so very Cold War. But again, just listen to the Disney episode because that's what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to say it was weird going to Disney after doing that episode.
All
I was thinking about was how this land was acquired, what the town was actually like, where I truly was rather than just being near Kissimmee or something.
The Reedy Creek Improvement District is that what it's called. Yeah. But still, Disney World's great, man. I have fond memories of it, the whole thing. So as you said earlier, Noel, a lot of states have something like this law, but most are nowhere near on the level of Florida's. So be very careful. Now that we've walked through that, we can address this question. Is Florida any worse than other states, or is it just easier for the public to know about crimes and bizarre events? We'll answer that after a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. Well, I think we're going to have to give this one the old patented partially true.
Can we get a sound effect for that, Paul?
Who patented that?
It's somewhat, yes.
Was it Snopes?
I think it was probably Snopes, yeah.
They can't own the phrase partially true.
Who knows?
Partially own it, perhaps.
What? We have to go with something way less sexy, like somewhat accurate.
There you go. That's a glass half full situation.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Looks like we're going to go with our patented somewhat accurate.
We should have air horns for that.
And one gunshot.
Yeah. But like a racing start pistol.
Yeah, that's good. That's
not scary gunshots.
That's a compromise. Yeah. Florida's open governance laws do make it very, very easy to report the weirdest arrest on record. And the fact remains that there is a higher than average crime rate in Florida. It's a combination of wildly different cultures, so stranger things are bound to occur, things that might not occur in a place that is less crowded or has different reporting rules.
It feels like there is a little bit more of possibly a free spirit and like kind of a stick it to the man kind of attitude possibly when people live by the water and they're not absurdly bougie rich people.
I see what you're saying, yeah. More self-reliance, perhaps?
Self-reliant. The kind of beach bum life's for me kind of attitude, you know?
And then maybe that applies inland with sort of a country boy can survive vibe.
Also true. Again, I think it all goes back to the diversity we're talking about, and that is a diversity of culture and of socioeconomic stratum.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of inequality in the state as well. And this situation, all these factors combined, create a feedback loop. Because once journalists from around the country learned how easy it was to fill a void in the news cycle with a charming, hilarious, often schadenfreude-rife anecdote about Florida, it became an easy go-to move. That doesn't mean that insane things don't happen in Idaho. That doesn't mean that parts of Atlanta are entirely bonkers and yeah, you know, weekly escapades of pandemonium don't occur. It just means that it's way easier to tell the Florida versions of those stories.
What do you call that? Like an echo chamber situation, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a question then, Ben. What does it take in a state with tighter sunshine laws to generate a headline like that. Like, it has to be just, like, out in the public eye where it's witnessed by a lot of people. And then, you know, it's not exclusively reported on based on arrest reports. It was such a giant debacle that people saw it. And journalists actually have to interview people at the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say, as you find more details with any of these that we ran off earlier, there's probably even more context to a lot of this. And it might even make a little more sense than it seems just with the headline and with the basic description after more, you know, a better picture of it emerges.
Yeah, and these people haven't had their day in court yet either when a lot of this stuff is reported. It's just the arrest. Like as reported by a local news station, a Florida man was rescued from a vending machine. Authorities would not comment on the circumstances of how the man became stuck in the vending machine or how they rescued him. There was no word on the extent of his injuries. Action News called the business where the incident happened. A person at Alpha Packaging picked up the phone and hung up without providing additional information. So there's a lot of context missing in that one, you know, and that's a really good point you make, Matt. There's a wealth of very important context. It's usually cut out because we just want to read these, I'll say it, amazing headlines.
Well, and I was about to say, before you accuse us of only doing this episode because we wanted to rattle off some of these headlines— I'm here to tell you that's probably exactly why we did it.
I love it. Yeah, I went in this hoping for headlines, and we want to hear some of your favorite Florida headlines. Also, if you were from Florida, we want to hear your opinion on the Sunshine Law. Is it overall a good thing with this one unintended consequence? You know, we have solved the mystery. Florida does get an unfair rap, and it gets it largely due to this legislation. What about people who don't live in Florida? Do you want your state, local community, or your country to enact a similar law? Why or why not? I mean, a lot of countries have the draconian opposite of this. Like in Belarus and a lot of Eurasian countries, you're not really allowed to even talk about the government.
I don't want that.
So is there a Goldilocks zone? Is this too far?
There must be.
There must be.
I don't know. I kind of like this full transparency thing. I mean, how – honestly, if we didn't have it, how would I ever learn about the Florida man that stole 36,000 pounds of Crisco? And what's he going to do with all that Crisco, you might ask?
I think I know. Sex stuff.
Oh.
You're not connected to the Crisco Underground anymore?
I thought it was a food product, like you cook with it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's also, you know, pure grease.
Mm.
I mean, no, alligator wrestling.
Done.
Ah, yeah, I don't know. I love those sorts of heists because remember that story in Canada about the huge maple syrup heist that happened a while back?
Oh, yeah.
I still wonder, how do you fence that? Who has a Crisco guy who only moves weight? Who has a maple syrup connection who doesn't mess with anything under 100 gallons of syrup?
No, that's what I'm saying. You fence it directly to the underground alligator wrestling community, and then no one else ever sees it. It doesn't have to enter into circulation. They just keep it, and they use it until they run out.
So this guy is like the Kaiser Sose of Crisco. Yeah. I am officially banning myself from comparing people to Kaiser Sose. I've been doing it for the past several episodes.
Is it because like that, they're gone?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, it's exactly. It's a great comparison to anyone.
Well, I figured it out, guys. He was taking the Crisco. He was going to go fence it at his buddy. He was his buddy, unfortunately, though, was caught with an active meth lab in his pants.
Oh, so, this is the guy with the one – they call it a one-pot meth lab, yeah. Right?
Are you making this up?
No, that's true. That's what? True.
That's a thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Like you can cook yourself one rock of meth. Does meth come in rocks?
I don't know the output or
crystal.
The yield.
Yeah, exactly.
But they have. Yeah, this guy had apparently some baggy pants and a MacGyver-like traveling meth lab.
A guy from Dafuniac Springs.
Mm-hmm. And this, I mean, we can laugh at this. We're not making fun of these people's lives. We are trying to point out the important and little-known mechanism that's responsible for this, frankly, unfair stereotype. We also, you know, as we said at the top, after our last few episodes, we wanted to do something a little more lighthearted, but there is one last crucial note we have to make here. As we record this, some parts of Florida are still devastated by Hurricane Michael. And you might not hear about this stuff in between all the funny stories of someone, you know, dressing up in a weird costume or someone getting stuck in a vending machine. But there are still tent cities in areas of Florida where hundreds of people are currently living, and they are – many of them are due to be disbanded, leaving the hurricane survivors with nowhere to go.
So if you would like to donate to help Florida rebuild, or for that matter, help any number of communities that have been suffering from the short and long-term effects of these kinds of natural disasters, such as California with the fires, Puerto Rico, you can visit charitynavigator.org and search for your cause of choice.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. You'll see the various charities and nonprofit organizations divided up by their areas of expertise, along with more information about each one. So check it out. As we may have said on the show before, it's always important to remember that these sorts of stories don't stop just because the reporters stop reporting it. They continue on.
Couldn't agree more, guys. All right. So if you want to write to us with anything, crazy Florida stories, we'll read them. We've been, you know, as tragic as the things are that we just discussed, we've been cracking up this whole episode just reading the headlines and exploring the strangeness that humanity has to offer. And if you have any strangeness of humanity or otherwise, send it our way. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook, where we're Conspiracy Stuff. Instagram, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show. If you don't want to do any of that stuff, check out our Facebook group, which is Here's Where It Gets Crazy. You can get on there and discuss all of these things and all the other topics that we've ever covered and things we haven't covered with all of our fellow conspiracy realists over there, wonderful human beings. And if you don't want to do any of that, you can call us. We are 1-833-STDWYTK. Leave a message, you might get on the air. And if none of that stuff, not a single thing that we just said, strikes your fancy, you can do the final thing. Send us a good old-fashioned email. We are
conspiracy@howstuffworks.com.